Hey everybody, this is Good Talk with Chastity Goodman. Thank you for listening. This week's topic on Good Talk with Chastity Goodman is going to be all about education. We're going to dive a little bit into the teacher strikes, Brother Killer Mike and his comments on The Breakfast Club, and of course, the recent college entrance scandal. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. Hi to all that have lent me their ear for a snatch of time. This is Chastity Goodman, and you are listening to Good Talk with moi, yours truly. And I'm grateful to all of you that are tuning in. I hope all is well. First, let me give you this bit of a disclaimer. All thoughts, views, and opinions shared on this podcast are mine and are in no way a reflection of those of any company, organization, or other entity, unless otherwise stated, of course. They're all mine. Every week, my intention is to present a question, an observation, or a consideration up for discussion. These topics will almost always reflect in some way our children, our families, or a combination of the both. For those things are near and dear to my heart. They're a topic that I could literally talk about almost all day and every day. So yeah, welcome to the podcast again. This is Good Talk with Chastity Goodman. So there's a standard greeting that I will use every week. I will borrow it from my brothers and sisters of the Maasai in Kenya. And that greeting is Kasarian Injeri. Of course, I hope that's how they say it there. I'm pretty sure it's probably way more poetic and way more beautiful than I'm giving it justice to. But in any event, the greeting is essentially, and how are the children? How are the children? The people in Kenya, rather the Maasai, they knew that a group of children were a direct reflection of whatever condition that the country, the nation, the tribe was in. So if the tribe, the nation, the country was healthy, thriving, doing well, then in turn, the children would be healthy, happy, thriving, and doing well. So going forward, Kasarian and Jerry, how are the children? Yeah, how are the children? How are the children this week, folks? How are your kiddos doing? How are the kids? So full disclosure, I am an educator. So I look at most things in the world with one eye relating to myself and one eye relating to the children. Or in a lot of cases, it's not just the children, but it's families in general. Like when we go home, we close the door on our jobs, we take off our pumps and we unbutton our jackets or our ties. We throw, our book bags down or whatever the case may be. That time, that's where I'm most interested and most concerned. So again, we're going to be talking about things that relate to that part of your life. The most intimate part of you, children and families. So this week I've been thinking quite a bit about three things. And I'll just give you a kind of an overview of what those three things are. The teacher strikes all over the country. Most recently, the ones in Oakland, California. Killer Mike's interview on The Breakfast Club. Like, I know it's not a recent interview. I can hear some of y'all now. That didn't happen this week. Yeah, I know. But I'm still thinking about it. And the college admission scandal. So that did break this week. So for all of you that are like, oh, this isn't current news, whatever, we still going to talk about it. Whoo, that is a lot in and of itself. It's a lot. So the common ground that these events have in common is that they're all focused on and concerning the education of the children. So how are our kids being educated? Who is educating them and with what? Right? All three of these topics, all three of these conversations that were started, these events, concern themselves with that one thing. Now, as a teacher myself, we're going to start with the strikes, of course. And I can just tell you, I certainly do empathize with the teachers that are on strike. In every city, in every state that I can recall, and for as long as I can recall, teachers' salaries have been quite a bit off from the cost of living in a given city. In fact, when you introduce yourself as a teacher, as I often do, like, hi, you know, I'm whatever, whatever. Oh, what do you do? I'm a teacher. Oh, my gosh. They all say, oh, we're so thankful. We're so grateful for you. Like, I don't see how you do it. You teachers are amazing. Like, you are the unsung heroes of our country and all this, that, and the other. And then they always say, we don't pay you enough. We don't pay you enough, or they don't pay y'all enough. And I'm always like, but it's your tax dollars. Who are you talking about, they? So I think, too, if they don't pay us enough, well, have you written a letter to your House of Representatives on my behalf telling them, hey, y'all not paying our teachers enough? Have you checked your senator's stance on education policy, the education policy that he or she, or the education policies that he or she represents? Do you know what they are? I mean, I'm not saying this to be judgmental. I'm not even saying it in a condemning type of situation. But most teachers don't even know what education laws are on the dockets. And as taxpayers, as people that vote, as people that should vote, these are things that are in your control. Laws that get passed down through the House to the Senate, you should know what they are, because they directly concern the teachers that you say are such heroes, right? The teachers that are unsung, the teachers that are not paid enough. These are the things that concern how we can effectively, or cannot in some cases, effectively do our jobs. So if you want to help us, or you want to do more than go, oh, wow, like, we love you guys, like, they just don't pay you enough, check in on some of those routes, right? And see how you can help. Have you taken $5 or $10 at the top of the year when they give paper and pencils away for five cents, 10 cents, glue sticks or whatever? Brought $5 or $10 worth of that and dropped it off at your school's teacher, with your school's teachers, with the principals, whatever the case may be. Those of you that work in stores, or that are artisans, or whatever the case may be, have you seen things that are on clearance and dropped them off at the local school and be like, yo, I know y'all got art classes here. I know you have music classes here. I'm a musician. Like, I'm about to get a new guitar. Let me drop this off for you, if you can. Like, have you done that? Those are quick little things that, as a society, right, we can show our interest in the schools by doing those simple things. That way, on my already tight budget, I don't have to go pick up extra pencils. I don't have to try to pick up extra paints. I don't have to try to buy, you know, instruments that is already going to be almost close to impossible on my budget. Like, those are just some things we could do to help. Otherwise, do y'all ever stop into schools for other reasons other than just to critique it? Oh, you're not doing this well, you're not doing that. Well, just stop through. Hey, how y'all doing? This is great. Can I see 5 or 6 minutes of this lesson? Can I meet your teacher? Have you done any of those things? Now, interesting enough, maybe I should save this until a little bit later. Yeah, I'll come back and touch on parental involvement in schools here in a second. I'll come back and look at that. But I will say for teachers that collectively, we are often the most educated in the country. A lot of times, collectively, we are more educated than any other field of people that are working, other than like scientists and stuff like that. you know, doctors that are like heart surgeons or something. But you understand what I'm saying. We hold degrees in chemistry and biology and English and the humanities. We are well-read, we're well-prepared, and we show up every day to teach the next generation. Like, for the average person that has a child, I would think that that is a dream come true. I would urge you guys who have children to figure out what it is that your child's teacher majored in. Like, what is your degree in? What was your school experience like? Like, how are you sharing things about those preparations to my child as they get ready to grow up and go into the world? It would be a really, really interesting conversation that I'm sure would enrich the teacher, yourself, and then form more of a collaborative team effort for the two of you than just saying, I'm dropping you off at school. Having said this, even though it should be a dream come true that you have such educated people, people that get the calling, people that are willing to go into education despite knowing that it, quote unquote, doesn't pay well or wouldn't pay us comparable to other things that we could be doing other than showing up for the little kids, the high schoolers, you know, whatever the case may be. Why is teaching often related to or compared to something of a nightmare? Teachers are burnt out early. They exit early. And the best teachers, you know, from what I can see, move into administrative roles for pay, for benefits, for whatever the case may be. Sometimes they get into those roles because they want to change things. But even still, like, teaching is not that dream job. It's hard. It's complicated. It's messy. There are 15, 20 hats that we could wear at any given time, at any given point of the day. So, wow. Like, I don't even know. Like, there's so much to unpack. I could talk about this literally for hours. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Let's talk about Killer Mike. Yeah, Killer Mike. He was on The Breakfast Club a couple of weeks ago. And the conversation with he, Charlamagne Tha God, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee fell into schools. And he and Envy particularly were talking about public school versus private school. Oh, Lord. Listen, that was a riveting conversation before I showed up to my class that morning. I must say, my mind was reeling, right? Like, wow, I was on fire. Killer Mike made some excellent points about public education. Public education ultimately falls in the hands of the public. So though there are things that we could comment on that we don't like, that's up to us. Can't just throw that in a teacher's lap and walk away. You can't just throw that into the administrator's lap and walk away. Like I said before, it is a complicated system. And a lot of times the first place that you can make a difference is with your voting ballot. But anyway, I'm going off on this tangent. Regardless of whether or not you send your child to this public school in your neighborhood, a private school even, or charter school, all systems are due for upgrade, all of them. Some of them do things great, right? Let's face it. Some of them have that social and emotional aspect down. So when Killer Mike was talking about, like, I will send my daughter to this particular school, I think it was private, because they go outside. That's the social and emotional aspect of learning that is critical to all kids. They need to go outside. They need to play. They need to see the sunshine. There is a such thing as SAD. Sunshine absence disorder. Right? We need the sun. We need fresh air pumping through our veins and our systems. We need that. So that's important. Others of us have really great test scores. If you look at the schools, like 98% of them make whatever the case may be on the ACT. Like, they are killing it with the test scores. But I think in all of these statistics, because public perception is so fickle, and because we are told that one thing is important or another thing is important, we can oftentimes not look at the whole picture. Some are great with one thing and others are great with others. Some teach entrepreneurship, like Envy was talking about. Others teach like future intellectuals. They are the thinkers of society. We want to cultivate a society of thinkers, or at least I would think, right? That's important. The school you choose, or the school that you have no choice in choosing in a lot of instances, is quite frankly an extension of the value systems of that community, of that neighborhood, and in a larger sense, right, in a macro sense of our society. The wealthy tend to have the most options. That's just what it is. I think what was interesting about Killer Mike's conversation with DJ Envy is that he was talking about, listen, I'm not talking about rich people like you and I. We can pull our kids out of a private school, out of a public situation, put them in private school if we want. And we can choose, pick and choose which private institution we want to put them in. Like, that's a choice that we have been afforded because we are not at the same level that a lot of these people are. That we're not working class. We have more resources at our fingertips. Perceptions and misconceptions about public education, though, often make us all look, you know, at the other people like the grass is greener on the other side. Like, I can't fix what I have. Public schools, the ones in your neighborhoods, those are the ones that need our love, our care, our attention. And we need to try to see if we can fix them so that all kids that we serve, when you get off the bus, you have a situation that you're happy with. We have something that we can, a product that we can say will push you to the next level. And you don't have to necessarily worry about, hey, my kid can't go here. They're not going to have the same opportunities. Not true. It may look different, right? Because we have more children to serve or whatever the case may be. But we're still going to be able to serve your kid in the same capacity. If we can't do that, if we can't focus on fixing the schools that are right there in the neighborhood, then I think we're going to continue to have this very, though riveting, frustrating discussion. It's going to stay frustrating. Are we as a society going to put a priority on imagining and then creating an equitable learning system so that all children have what they need? Can we really answer the question, what is a good school? What is it? Is it that certain communities are going to have a different definition than other communities? And is that okay? Because at the end of the day, when all is said and done, these are U.S. children. They're American children collectively, right? How do we explain to other people? Let's say somebody from another planet came, another country, whatever the case may be. And they said, well, how are your kids? Like, what is the education like? We can't give them a singular answer. It may be one thing in one neighborhood, another in another neighborhood. Different states are doing different things. No. What is it that you as children should have? What are those value systems and how are we preparing ourselves to get our kids to whatever place that is, right? Whew, and Envy. I think he ticked a lot of teachers off when he says that the best teachers don't exist in public education. The way this works, teachers graduate from a teacher education program. Then after we get through the teacher education program, whatever program we go to through the colleges, then we get issued a license through our state. Sometimes we can go for multiple licenses if we think we're going to be moving, whatever the case may be. We have to take tests a lot of the times in order to teach in our content and in our ability to handle classrooms. We all go through background checks in order to be in front of your children. And then we are hired at a school. So we're put through the scrutiny of a principal, that is at the helm of or at the head of their school, and they determine whether we are going to be a good fit or not from that school. Now, it is the educator's choice whether they want to go into a private institution or a public one. But regardless, it is the preparation program that we go to that has nothing to do with our how great we are as teachers, right? That is how we are trained. So we don't become a good or a bad teacher, I don't think, because we teach at one of the other institutions. That's just not how that works. We teach curriculum that is set forth by a district or a district's adoption of an organization's way that they say this is the best way to do things, that's the best way of doing things. I think if you talk to a public educator, they will tell you that we get all these great new shiny initiatives. Some of them work, some of them don't. So then we throw those initiatives out and get new initiatives. Laws are passed that determine how we can do things or not do things. But we are often not just able to step into a classroom and say, I'm going to teach this. So in terms of what makes a great teacher, I think is part of it is the curriculum, and part of it is just your ability to reach a kid, your ability to make relationships, your ability to make things relatable, even if you're not the best relationship person. How can you reach into that kid or that child, excuse me, and grab the best part of them and pull it out and shine it up and refine it and present it back to society? So to end these parts, to end this point rather, oh my goodness, it's way too simplistic, way too simple to apply to what makes a teacher good or not good. And again, that's one of those really complicated questions that we're going to have to start to scrutinize as a society. What makes a teacher good or not good? What makes a school good or not good? What makes curriculum good or not good? Like, does everybody need to learn real estate? Like, what is it? What makes this something that is useful for all students? Or is that even possible? Oh, boy. All right. So the last thing we're going to take a look at, or that I want to take a look at, is the college entrance scandal. Tisk. I have so many questions. Like, so many questions. Where this is concerned. Like, I really want to know why the athleticism was a shoo-in for a lot of these colleges. Like, when college is a place about academic and intellectual preparation, like, okay, I get it. Like, you are a whole person. You do have to take care of your physical as well as your mental. But what about, like, kids that are talented, like painters, singers, sculpture artists, those types of kids? It's just athletics. Like, is that what is the ding 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 ding? Oh my gosh, they hit that point. Let's let them in there. And then I'm looking at some of the colleges that these people chose to scam their way into. And again, what makes a college more favorable? Manicured lawns, exclusivity, the reputation, the value in society. Like, how do we know? Like, there's a huge, huge, huge question right now. Like, do you even need to go to college? Do you not need to go to college? What does that look like? Should you go right after high school? Should you take some time off to work? Like, should you finish in 4 years? Should you finish in six? There's the debt situation. Oh, my God. Like, should you go out of state? Should you stay in state? Like, there's a lot. It's complicated. And then, I don't know, like I've heard so many people say, some of us don't even need it. Like, your kids, you're wealthy already. If you have $500,000, y'all could start a business. Some of them have YouTube channels and a quote unquote career already. Like, I just don't understand. I have so many questions. And that would lead me to my next question, or my next pondering, is this idea that we are producing scarecrows that cannot possibly have a brain until they have a piece of paper in their hands that says degree. Like, these are human beings. We're all great thinkers. That degree should not legitimize you as being, how do I want to say this? As being smart or not smart. I think the degree is what gives us certification that we have finished a discipline of study, which will make us beneficial in a particular field over another one, but it doesn't legitimize us to the fact that we should be cheating people out of a tool that is most certainly necessary in their lives. Like, I have to have a degree to be a teacher. And I'm not upset by that. It's nothing that bothers me. I loved my college experience. But if your kid has no, like, if they just don't want to go, it's not that big of a deal. Let them explore a little bit until they figure out what they want to do. Don't have them waste their time, a professor's time, the admissions people's time, for somebody who don't even want to do it yet. Like, let them mature a little bit and let them go back when it's going to be beneficial to them. Then those people that are in the admissions office, those students that really work their behinds off to get into some of these schools, or any school for that matter, for the benefit of something that they want to do, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, somebody who plays in a symphony, whatever it is, those people get the ample resources, tools, everything they need to get into those programs. Hoo boy. The universe is splattering all of our inconsistencies and immoralities right before our eyes. I think when it comes to how are the children in terms of their education, the scandals, these stories, these arguments, the strikes, they're shoving issues in front of us that we cannot ignore. Access, access, access. And the question of who gets the best, even if there is a best, right? Because that's a question too, even if there is a best. I think all of this boils up to this pursuit of happiness and this need for education or degree to get this happiness. And it leads me to a quote or something that Toni Morrison said, how exquisitely human was the wish for permanent happiness, and how thin the human imagination became in trying to achieve it. We need to make sure that even in the quest for education, we allow some room for that imaginative spirit to come in, the creativity to say, hey, you don't look like you're on your way to college. What else can we do? You're having some problems. How can we solve them? Or all of the kids in the neighborhood aren't getting the same thing. How can we make sure that this is not putting them in an unfair situation? The teachers are burnt out. They're not happy. There's too much going on there. Creatively, what can we do if we don't have enough resources? How can we get them there? What can we do to make this work, right? That's a point that we need to make. It's something that we need to ponder a little bit more, with a little bit more creativity and a little bit more warmth. Here I am. Red bottom stilettos may be somebody's best, but they are death sentence for somebody else's pinky toe. What is the best? Is there a best, right? Even though we're doing the best we can for our kiddos, or are we doing that best? I don't know. This question of good, better, and best is something that I really think we need to spend a lot more time on. Whew, that's a lot. Kasarian and Jerry, folks. How are the children? If anyone out there has comments, questions, emotional outbursts, please leave a comment. This conversation is certainly worth continuing. It's worth hearing what you all have to say. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a helpful tip before I get out of here this week. And that tip is going to be for closed captioning. If you have a struggling reader in your home, which means they're having some trouble with comprehension, fluency, or even finding anything interesting to read, which is what everybody says, right? If you guys have a program that you like to watch, a TV show, a cooking show, whatever the case may be, turn on the closed captioning on your television. And what will happen is you'll find yourself kind of following along with the caption as the people are speaking. And this helps your students read the words as they are spoken. But it helps with fluency. It helps with spelling, right? And sometimes a word will pop up there that the kids don't know. And they'll go, well, what's that word? It helps build the inquisitive spirit within the kid also. Let me say it, a child. It helps to build that inquisitiveness. So if you have someone that's even a reluctant reader, put that closed captioning on. I can't even watch TV without the closed captioning. It irks my brother. He drives him crazy. But I love it. I love it. And hopefully you will too. Hopefully you will too. Thank you again so much for lending me your ear. Choose to be happy every day this week and have a fantastic week. Peace. Again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Good Talk this week. I hope this was a pleasurable experience for you. I hope it was informative and enjoyable. And I hope you'll leave me a comment or question, and even an emotional outburst. I'll take those too. It will keep me informed of what I do here and perhaps even get played on the next show. Thank you again. Keep on listening, and I'll see you next week.